الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable علماء كرام حفاظ كرام beloved brothers and elders Allah تبارك وتعالى has blessed us all with iman That's why we are here seated in this masjid with the grace of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We all know the greatest and most precious, most valuable bounty and gift anyone can be blessed with in this world is iman. Because the criteria for success in the akhirat, in the qabr, in the akhirat, is all based on a person having iman or not. The question is, after iman, what is the next most important thing a mu'min must pay attention to? Iman is the greatest. But after iman, what is that gift? And what is it that a mu'min must acquire? Number one, to safeguard and protect his iman. And number two, to progress and make Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala happy. And, you know, transcend the different stages of Allah ta'ala's love, progress, etc. So the answer to this is, the greatest quality a person can receive is a quality which we term in the words of Quran and Hadith as taqwa. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu once addressed the Muslims in the Masjid of Damascus. He looks at them, there was a huge crowd in front of him, and he tells them, addresses them as, oh my respected elders and friends, all I wish to tell you today is something simple and short. It's very simple, very short in wording, but when we analyze this quality, then it covers every promise in the Quran Kareem, every promise of reward that a person wants to receive. If he just adopts this one quality, he'll get every promise that Allah Ta'ala, every reward, which Allah Ta'ala has promised in the Quran and Hadith. If he carries out this one quality, he'll receive it. And he'll be saved and protected from a whole host of evil. What was it? He explains to them, this special quality is the quality of taqwa. When a person holds on to taqwa, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala opens his life and makes everything easy for him. There are many promises as far as what a person will receive when he adopts taqwa. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains this in one hadith. مَسْتَفَادَ الْمُؤْمِنُ بَعْدَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ خَيْرًا لَهُ A mu'min has attained and acquired his iman. But after iman, the best thing a mu'min can acquire is this quality of taqwa. Now taqwa is so great, the opening verses of Qur'an al-Kareem, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes mention. We read these verses, we hear them so often, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika al-Kitabu la rayba fih, This book of Allah Ta'ala, the Quran Kareem, is a book which has no doubt. Then Allah Ta'ala says, Hudan lil muttaqeen. The greatest form of guidance will come from Quran. And it will serve as a form of guidance for who? For those who have taqwa. So this taqwa is an important ingredient in the life of every mu'min. Taqwa is something we all need to head to, we need to acquire. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered the first khutbah, then in that, what was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's topic? The topic was taqwa. So respect the elders and friends, taqwa is very great, very important. What we need to understand is, we need to get to taqwa. But there are many things we need to acquire in our life. For example, someone is desirous of good health. So good health is something which every human being requires. But good health has certain signs and characteristics via which a person would be able to tell whether his health is in good shape or not. Example, he'll go to the doctor, he'll check his pulse, he'll check his pressure, he'll check his sugar. If these things are all in order, then these are signs and indications through which a person can tell that his health is good. Similarly, taqwa is a great quality. The Quran Kareem explains to us one sign of taqwa. Taqwa is something we all require, but what's a sign? One sign that a person has taqwa within him, the Quran Kareem says, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Very simple, Quran Kareem says, there is a quality that shows and indicates that a person has taqwa, not ordinary taqwa, but taqwa deep down in his heart. What's the sign and indication that he has taqwa? Quran Kareem says, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. The one who respects the salient features and symbols of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then this shows and indicates that there is taqwa deep in his heart. Taqwa, on taqwa rests all the success of this world and the akhirat. But what's a sign to show a person has taqwa? The sign to show it is respect, something we term as ta'zeem, tawqeer, or we term what we normally hear all the time, adab. Adab in respect. Some ulama-i-kiram have mentioned, ad-deenu kulluhu adabu. When you want to know what's the position of adab and respect, then adab and respect surfaces in every facet of deen. Everywhere in deen you'll find adab surfacing. Now we may think adab is something that started recently. It's some word that people of recent times have conned and created and made up. But this is not something of recent times. Taqwa is something that was from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rather from all the anbiya alayhi wasallam of the past. For us to understand, where does taqwa and how does it surface? The Quran Kareem is saying, the one who has adab, the one who has respect, this adab is something from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's indicative of taqwa. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on so many occasions, teaches us the importance of taqwa. The importance of respect. That when a person has respect, then we find his whole life goes in order. Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu are going for hijrat. They have left Makkah Mukarramah, migrating to Medina Munawwara. It was a very mubarak occasion. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu on one occasion mentioned that I wish my entire life, all my deeds, can be in exchange of just one night of Abu Bakr. What was that night? That night which he spent with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave. Allah ta'ala honored Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu with such a high rank and position that his name, his mention of him is made in the Quran Kareem, When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Allah ta'ala says, إِذْ يَقُولُ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying to his companion, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ, referring to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now when we look, let's look at what Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu did. One was what he did before that, one was what he did after that, but what was his behavior during that trip? If we analyze the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we'll find the entire trip was only filled with adab and respect. When they come to the cave, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, let me enter, let me go in before you. Normally, the elder goes first, but Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went in before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to bring some type of comfort. He said, Ya Rasulullah, we don't know what's in the cave. There may be some harmful creature, there may be some animal, some dangerous animal there. Let me go and clear the cave before you come in. He's showing us and teaching us respect. He goes in, he cleans the cave, he sweeps up, he cleans up whatever he can, and then he finds certain holes there. Thinking that there may be an animal that will come out, he looks for something to close up those holes, he can't find anything. He tears his cloth. He tears the cloth that he's wearing and uses those cloth pieces to cover up those holes so that no harm comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was approximately 2 years elder than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One person asks him, O Abbas, who's elder? And he used the word in Arabic, Akbar. Akbar translates as elder, it also translates as greater. So he says, who's Akbar, who's elder? So Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he gives such a beautiful response, something which keeps, which is brimming with adab, an answer which is brimming with adab, in which all of us can take lesson and draw lesson from. He answers this question by saying, Huwa akbaru wa ana asan. As far as greatness and being greater is concerned, that is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I may be a few years elder, but he's greater. I may be a few years elder, but he's greater. This was the respect which Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he spoke, he said what he needed to, but teaching us the importance of respect. We look at the lives of other great people, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. We look at these people and the greatness and the acceptance Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given them. But a common feature in every successful person's life is what? Is the background of adab and respect. When a person would keep showing this, then you'll find Allah ta'ala makes him prosper in this world as well as in deen. Once as a Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, he wrote out to different people, different successful people, whether it be in the worldly sense or whether it be in dini sense, and he wrote up to them and asked them what caused them to reach this position. When their lives were studied, then this point came clear, that the point that elevated them and made them come up and climb the ladder so successfully was respect. Whoever it was, they respected the elders in their life. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala made their, when they were young, they respected the people they had to. Allah ta'ala caused people afterwards to shower them with respect. Allah ta'ala made everything fall at their feet. There's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Man waqqara shaykhan li ajli sinnihi. That youngster who shows honor and respect to an elder, why? The hadith even clears. Why is he respecting him? He's respecting him just because of his age. One is, you can respect someone because of his knowledge, or you can respect someone because of his position. Here, this youngster is respecting an elderly person just because of his age. What does the hadith say? مَا وَقَّرَ شَابٌ شَيْخًا لِأَجْلِ سِنِّهِ إِلَّا قَيَّضَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مَنْ يُكْرِمُهُ عِنْدَ سِنِّهِ. When a youngster honors an elderly person because of his age, Allah Ta'ala will appoint people. When this youngster becomes old, Allah will appoint people to respect him. Allah will appoint people to respect him when he becomes old. So this is the secret to success, to respect, to earning and gaining in later on in life, is that a person goes through this pathway of respect. We're speaking about Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. He was seated in the masjid. Someone who was also seated there mentions, Imam Bukhari was there and there was one person seated next to him or somewhere near him. And this person dusted him, his beard or dusted himself, and there was a speck of dirt that had fallen off onto the masjid floor. He says, I was seated at the back, but I was watching Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh looked around, and when no one was looking, he picked up the little speck of dirt and put it into his pocket. Then when he left the masjid, he took it out and threw it outside. This person comments and says, such a small speck of dirt, which you and I wouldn't tolerate on our clothing or on our beards, Imam Bukhari couldn't tolerate this little speck of dirt in the masjid. He picks it up out of honor for the symbol, sacred features of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala gives Imam Bukhari the type of acceptance. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi is seated. And the students notice him, that while he's seated and delivering the lesson, his face begins turning color. They can see that he's being agitated by something, but he remains in that position until the lesson of hadith is over. Someone goes up to him and asks him, the students go up to him and say, Imam, we've noticed something happening to you. Is something hurting you? Or are you distressed in any way? So he tells them to lift up his shawl, and underneath that shawl, there was a scorpion that was trapped underneath his shawl. And in its attempt to escape and get away, it couldn't find any way out. So it began stinging Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh. Approximately, it stung him approximately 17 times. But he tolerated the sting of that scorpion. Not once, not twice, but so many times. Why? Ijlalan li hadithi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only out of respect for the Mubarak hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So respect the elders and friends. Again, we understand this aspect of respect. One person saw a great Imam, Imam Shadkuni rahmatullah alayhi, in his dream, and he asked him, "And how did it fare with you? When someone passes away, then everyone wants to know, how did it fare? What happened?" So he says, "Allah Ta'ala had forgiven me. Allah Ta'ala made my maghfirat." So they asked him, "On what? On what basis?" So he replied, "Once I was moving with my kitabs, I was carrying my kitabs, I had to travel from one place to another. It so happened that the weather turned and it began, there was a heavy downpour. It began raining very, very hard. I had nowhere to put my kitabs. I had nowhere to protect my kitabs. I didn't have a bag, I didn't have a cover. And I thought to myself, in these kitabs, I have words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let me respect it in some way." He said, I stopped at where I was, and I put my kitabs on my lap, and put my back over it, bending in this position. Only to respect the words that were in there, that these were words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Allah Ta'ala loved this aspect of adab so much, that my maghfirat was made just on this adab. Respect the elders and friends, we look at the past, we always hear from the people of the past, the old, and they speak about how things were before, the good old days. There was so much of barakat, there was so much of happiness, there were smaller homes but bigger families. Today there are bigger homes but smaller families. They speak of what happened and how they used to, things were so well, running so smooth. If we draw a comparison between the modern age and the days of the past, and we looked at what is the missing ingredient. These people enjoyed good lives, they enjoyed good happy marriages, they enjoyed so much, there was so much that was different then and it's different now. So when we analyze and look carefully, we will reach one conclusion, that the levels of adab and respect in the past were much more than what we see today. If we want to see and enjoy, and enjoy the barakat which is contained in Quran Kareem and Hadith, then the bottom line we need to inculcate is enhance our levels of adab. Enhance our levels of adab. One great alim, he advised his son, his name was Ruwain. He advised his son, explaining to him how he should behave and what should be his response to acquire adab and respect. We all aim to increase our a'mal and increase our deeds, which is excellent, which is very great. But he tells him that, oh my son, اجعل عملك ملحا وأدبك دقيقا. He tells him, when as far as your amal is concerned, he gives him an example. He says, look at the example of dough and dough. You know, when you're going to make roti or bread or anything, you're going to make dough. So that dough comprises of flour, water, and maybe a pinch of salt. So he says, look at the amount of salt compared to the amount of dough and flour. It's very little, it's very minimal. So he says, your actions should be like the amount of the salt, and your adab should be the amount of the flour. In other words, for whatever little action you're doing, you must have tons of adab. You must have so much of respect. Then you'll find your actions also have a different shine and have a different color. When we look at respect, then we find people who climbed that ladder, people who held on to respect, Allah Ta'ala caused them to elevate. In the Mubarak life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we find people who also showed disrespect. And the end and the disaster they brought to themselves. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrates that there was one person in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who was blessed with the honor of writing wahi. Now, he had the ability of writing, and he was requested by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come and write down whatever wahi Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is getting, the Quran al-Kareem. So he had this great honor of writing wahi and being seated in the Mubarak presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then he says a terrible thing happened. This person, فَارْتَدَّ عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَلَحِقَ بِالْمُشْرِكِينَ. He became murtad and he joined the mushrikeen. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard of this, then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam commented and he said, إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لَا تَقْبَلُهُ. This person was so close, but now he abandoned all this and went to the mushrikeen. Even the land, no land will accept this person. Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu anhu thereafter comments further and says that I went to the land in which this person passed away, and I found his body rotting on the surface of the earth. I asked the people there, what happened? Why aren't you burying this man? So they replied, دَفَنَّاهُ مِرَارًا فَلَمْ تَقْبَلْهُ الْأَرْضِ. We buried him so many times. We made so many attempts. So many different graves we dug to bury his body. But the earth is just not accepting him. Now, we see what this person had, where he ended up. But the important question is, what caused him to end up there? He had the mubarak, he had the honor of writing wahi for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then, he was overwhelmed with his effort. He was overwhelmed with his position. And he began telling people, مَا يَدْرِي مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا مَا كَتَبْتُ لَهُ. Muhammad only knows the things I write for him. Only what I write, that's what he knows. That's what he tells you all. When we analyze his statement, what was it? It was, again, disrespect. It was something related to disrespect. Then another person, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seated with him. He was eating with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wasn't a child, he was an adult. When he was eating with his left hand. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised him, "Kul bi yaminik." Eat with your right hand. This is the mubarak sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is how a person should be eating. So what was his response? He replied, "La astati'u." Eating with my right hand, I'm so used to eating with my left hand. For years I'm eating with my left hand. I can't change this now. I can't change eating from my left hand and now start eating with the right hand. This person says, لا أستطيعُ. The commentator, Hazrat Salama bin Akwa' radiallahu anhu, he says, the only thing that prevented him, مَا مَنَعَهُ إِلَّا الْكِبْرِ. It wasn't that he had a valid excuse. The only reason why he didn't do it was, because of his pride, because of his self-esteem, he showed disrespect to the statement of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then told him, "Lasta ta'ata, you aren't able to eat with your right hand. Hazrat Salama bin Akwa says, because of the statement of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for the rest of his life, this man was never able to lift up his right hand to his mouth ever again. Respect, elders and friends, it's respect. Again, these are two incidents related to disrespect. How people lost out benefit just because of disrespect, and then we find people who gain so much because of respect that they show. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentions a beautiful couplet. A beautiful couplet, again showing us the importance of respect. Respect and adab is not something that has come about now or recent. This is from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the time of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Hazrat Ali says, لَيْسَ الْجَمَالُ بِأَثْوَابٍ تُزَيِّنُنَا إِنَّ الْجَمَالَ جَمَالُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْأَدَبِ. If you want beauty, then beauty doesn't lie in the clothes that you wear. The clothing we wear, we all are conscious. It's Friday, it's a special occasion. We're conscious of the clothing and the attire that we put on, of how we're going to appear in front of people. We want to look good, we want to look handsome and you know, beautiful. But Ali radiallahu anhu is saying that beauty is not through the clothing which you cover yourself with. Real beauty lies where? Real beauty is the beauty of ilm and adab. لَيْسَ الْيَتِيمُ الَّذِي قَدْ مَاتَ وَالِدُهُ إِنَّ الْيَتِيمَ يَتِيمُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْأَدَبِ. The orphan child is who? The orphan child, normally we know a person who doesn't have a father. A little boy who's a minor, who's lost his father, we'll call him an orphan. Ali radiallahu anhu says, that's one orphan. But the real orphan, the one who really lost the benefit of a fatherly figure above him is who? إِنَّ الْيَتِيمَ يَتِيمُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْأَدَبِ. The one who is an orphan is the one who doesn't have ilm or respect. So respect, brothers and friends, may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to inculcate adab in every facet of our life. Whether it be the masjid, whether it be the adhan, whether it be the Qur'an al-Kareem, whether it be ilm, knowledge, whether it be anything related to deen. But the more respect we'll show, Sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum, the Salaf al-Saliheen, our pious predecessors, the more respect we'll show, the more Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will accept us. The more Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will usher us in. So we make dua to Allah ta'ala to give us tawfiq to practice on whatever has been said.